Your Bibles and open them to the book of Exodus. While you're doing that, before we do our study, I have a couple things to mention. First of all, I too am excited about tonight, our couples night out, not just because we're going to be doing some fun things and enjoying an evening as couples, but also the fact that Aaron Sutton and a couple of his children will be singing for us. We're celebrating our 40th anniversary, and one of the things we're trying to do as the year goes on is we're trying to bring back people who were part of our history here, and that's why a few weeks ago you saw a video greeting from Christy Salo. And we're going to be doing more of those kinds of things, but also bringing people like Aaron back who grew up here to minister. And so he and a couple of his kids will be ministering to us tonight. So I'm really looking forward to that. The second thing before we start our study, I want to thank all of you who were part of ministering to the Zano family yesterday as they came here for a memorial service for their mother and grandmother. And it was just a joy to watch all the people in this church family come together, do their thing. Everybody did their thing, and that family was served. So if you were one of those people, thank you very much. The body of Christ was doing its thing yesterday, and you were part of it. So thank you very much for that. Let's pray, and then we're going to go into our message on the Ten Commandments. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we could come here and worship you, to let you know how great we believe you are, how faithful you are, and how you will forever be faithful. Father, thank you for being faithful this week. Thank you, Father, for showing your goodness to us. We appreciate that. You are a great God. And so now, Lord, as we look at some other commandments that you have given to us, I pray that we would see them as they should be seen and that we would respond as you would have us. In Jesus' name, amen. We're getting very close to the next census, 2020. We're pretty close. Back in 2010, a guy named Ernest had to fill out his census form. And Ernest is a guy who takes everything probably too literal. And the census form was no exception. So let me tell you how he filled out his census form. The form said, current state. Ernest wrote down, fairly relaxed. The form said, time at present address. Ernest wrote down, quarter after two. The form said, present position. Ernest wrote, sitting in a chair. The form said, a brief description. Ernest wrote, red polka dot 100% cotton. Some people are like that, aren't they? They take everything literally. Sometimes too literal. When we go to the Word of God, especially the Ten Commandments, we want to take them literally, and we should. The Ten Commandments are interesting because they are not hard to understand. They are to be understood literally. They mean what they say. And it's interesting how there are a lot of people who struggle with some of the Ten Commandments because they believe there's got to be something else there. It's got to mean something else. And I want to suggest to you that the Ten Commandments mean what they say. You can take them literally. Everyone in this room today can understand them because what you read is what they mean. Let me just take you back through them. Exodus 20, verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. Now, is that complicated? It means what it says, doesn't it? No other gods before me. The next one says, you shall not make for yourself an idol. Verse 5, you shall not bow down to them or worship them. It means what it says. No idols. No graven images. You don't bow down to, you don't worship idols. It means what it says. The next one, verse 7, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. What does that mean? Just what it says. You don't misuse God's name. The next one, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do your work, but the seventh is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. What does that mean? Well, we can argue all we want, but it means what it says. God says he wants 1 day out of seven that's set apart for him. That's what it says. We move on to verse 12. Honor your father and mother. Hey, boys and girls, that's not hard to understand, is it? It means what it says. Honor your father and mother. And as we talked, men and women, it means what it says. Honor your father and your mother. We go on. Verse 13, you shall not murder. Means what it says. We'll talk about that in a little while. Verse 14, we saw this last week. You shall not commit adultery. Take it literally. It means what it says. Verse 15, you shall not steal. Verse 16, you shall not give false testimony. Verse 17, you shall not covet. They're to be taken literally. They mean what they say. So I just encourage you as you're reading through and thinking through the Ten Commandments, don't make them any more complicated than they should be. They mean what they say. We can all understand them. What we're going to do today is finish up the Ten Commandments. We have one more message next week that summarizes the whole thing. But today we'll finish up looking at the Ten in this series called From Sinai to the Iron Range, the Ten Commandments. So that means today we're going to look at four commandments. We've done six. We're going to look at four of them. It'll be number 6, number 8, number 9, and number 10. And what I want to suggest to you from the beginning, and I'll keep reminding you of this, is that these commandments we're going to look at today are about respect. I want you to keep that in your mind. They're about respect. They're not just do nots. They're about respect. And you'll notice on the right side of your study sheet, there are New Testament scriptures in four groupings. Those are scriptures that say something about each of these commandments and what's being taught in the commandments. We're not going to look at those this morning. We don't have time. But they're there for you if you want to do some extra study, just looking at some of the New Testament comments about what these four commandments we're going to look at today are talking about. We're just going to look at the commandments themselves. So commandment number 6 is found in verse 13. It says, you shall not murder. You shall not murder. It's interesting that in the Hebrew language in which this was originally written, that commandment is just two words. It's just two words in the Hebrew. No murder. That's it. No murder. You shall not murder. It's about respect, right? It's about respect for life. It's about respecting life. You shall not murder. And just to maybe clear up some confusion that some people have about this, again, because it means what it says, you shall not murder, You need to know there are two Hebrew words. One is translated murder, the idea of intentionally taking the life of another person. Maybe that's where we get the idea of premeditated. But this Hebrew word means to murder, intentionally take the life of another person. There's another Hebrew word that's more general. It's the word for killing in general. The word that's used here in the commandment is the first one. That's why your translations that would use the word murder rather than kill would be more accurate. This is a very specific word. You shall not murder. You shall not take intentionally the life of another. It doesn't mean just general killing. Now, why is that important? Well, let me tell you what the commandment isn't saying. It's not talking about accidental death. In the book of Deuteronomy, God makes provision for cases where somebody has accidentally caused the death of another person. That's where the refuge cities came in and some other things like that in Jewish law. And so God has dealt with the idea of accidental death, causing death accidentally. So that's not what the commandment's talking about. It's not talking about self-defense, taking someone's life in self-defense. Because in Exodus 22, God talks about self-defense. And he's not forbidding it. It's not talking about capital punishment, because in Genesis 9:6, God talks about capital punishment. In fact, as you look through the rest of God's law, there is capital punishment. And so the commandment isn't talking about that. The commandment is not talking about warfare and the killing that takes place in war. Because if you read your Old Testament, God directs his people to go to war. So that's not what the commandment is talking about. And we have to add this today, I guess. It's not talking about killing animals. Because God in his word instructed his people to kill animals for food. So when you look at this commandment, it just means what it says. And the Hebrew word is the word for murder. Intentionally taking the life of another person. And the commandment says, you shall not murder. You shall not do that. Why? Genesis 9, chapter 6. Genesis 9, 6. This is after the flood, and God is speaking to Noah. And in Genesis 9:6, he says, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made man. Why would there be a command not to murder, to intentionally take the life of another person? It's because God made that person. It's because God made that person in his image. And if he made that person, and he made that person in his image, then that person's life is sacred. We call it the sanctity of life, right? The life of a human being is sacred because God made that human being, gave him life. And because when God did that, he made that human being in his image. Thus, that person's life is sacred. And murder, the intentional taking of that life, is a violation of the sacredness of life. Because of what that word means and what's being said in the commandment, it's very possible that we could add something like euthanasia, intentional taking of a life, violating the sacredness of life. We could possibly add abortion, intentional taking of life, violating the sanctity of life. We could probably say even suicide fits here because it's the intentional taking of life, violating the sanctity of life. But that's what the command is saying. Life is sacred because God gave that life. And God gave life in His image. Life is sacred. So, you shall not murder. Take another life intentionally. And when you read the New Testament, you find out that there's warning about even hatred because in God's eyes, that's as serious as murder. But you can read those on your own. Let's go to Commandment 8. No stealing. No murder, no stealing. Verse 15 of Exodus 20, you shall not steal. Means what it says, right? You shall not steal. You shall not take that which belongs to someone else. You shall not take that which doesn't belong to you. You shall not take it for yourself. It belongs to others. It could be money, it could be possessions, it could be property. In that day it was animals, servants, people, kidnapping, whatever. There's a lot of possessions and property of others that can be stolen. And the command is simply no stealing. Why? Because we are to respect others, right? We're to respect them and their property and possessions. And to steal from them what doesn't belong to us is a violation of respect. So God says as He begins His law, no stealing. I want you to consider something. I'm not going to talk about it, but I want you to consider it. It's on your sheet, I believe. But consider this. Could there be something sacred about the property and possessions that belong to others? Could there be something sacred about the property and possessions that belong to Joe or Gloria? Which means if I were to steal from them, I would be violating something sacred. What does sacred mean? Well, the word holy is synonymous with sacred. It means set apart, different. What is different about the possessions and property of others? It doesn't belong to you. That's what's different about it. It's not yours. Could it be that in a sense, the property and possessions of others is sacred? And that by stealing, you are violating what is sacred? I know that when people have experienced being robbed, someone stealing from them, I've heard them make the comment, I felt personally violated. Maybe you've experienced a theft. Someone has robbed you. There's a personal violation there that you feel. Why? Maybe because there's something sacred about possessions and property. Now, I'm not saying that in some materialistic way. But I want you to consider that. There is something sacred, maybe, about what belongs to others. And that when you steal from them, even if it's your parents, you're violating something that's sacred. And so, no stealing, God says. No stealing. Commandment number 9. Verse 16, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. No false testimony. No murder, no stealing, no false testimony. Now, sometimes, and perhaps even in some translations of the Bible, they just simplify that and have the command saying, do not lie. Now, giving false testimony is lying, but it's more specific. Right? In going through the whole dementia Alzheimer's thing with my dad, I learned some things. I learned that dementia is this big overarching concept. Dementia. And that Alzheimer's is one of the things beneath that, that fall under that. That Alzheimer's is a dementia. And there are some other things. Okay. You could say lying is the big overarching subject. Giving false testimony is one of the things under that. One of the ways to lie. So, I just say that to help you understand that what's presented in this command is giving false testimony. It is lying, but it's very specific. Okay? And it says, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. It's actually more of a legal term. It's the idea of giving false witness about someone in a courtroom, false testimony about someone in some setting where you are being asked to say something about what happened or about another person. That's the idea of false testimony. In our court system, we call it perjury, right? Where we give false testimony about someone else. It's lying. But it's a specific kind of lying, and that's what the commandment is referring to here. False testimony against your neighbor. Why would that be one of these commands? Why would it be one of this set of 10 that begins the law? Well, it's going to be important in setting up the nation, obviously, as they live together. But also remember, the God who is giving these commands, the God who gives this command about false testimony, is a God of what? Truth. His one and only Son that he sent to this earth said, I am the way, the truth. God is about truth. Who's about untruth? Satan, our enemy. Jesus said it himself in John 8. Satan is a liar. There's no truth in him. That's how he operates, untruth. Okay? So it makes sense that God, who is about truth, is going to say to his people, no false testimony. No false testimony. Take a look at Proverbs, just to kind of show you the idea of this specific idea of false testimony. Proverbs 6. Proverbs chapter 6. You might be familiar with this. It's a text where Solomon lists things God hates. Starting in verse 16 of Proverbs 6. There are six things the Lord hates. Seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. I just want to draw your attention to two items in this list of things God hates. In verse 17, the second one is a lying tongue. But notice in verse 19, the second to last one is a false witness. Why do I point that out? Solomon is mentioning them both separately. Remember what I said? There's lying, the lying tongue. God hates that. But then there is something specific, the false testimony about others. Solomon makes some kind of distinction there. He lists both of them, the general lying, but then he makes a point, which must mean it's serious, false testimony against someone. And that's the command. You shall not give false testimony or witness against your neighbor. How do we do that? Well, you could do it in a court of law, I suppose. I don't know if anybody here has ever given witness or been called to give testimony in a courtroom setting, but obviously there you're going to want to give honest, true, factual testimony, right? You're not going to want to give false testimony. But think about this. Slander can be giving false testimony about somebody, right? You can get in a group and you can slander somebody and what you're saying about them is not true. That's false testimony. What about getting involved in gossip or rumors that aren't true about somebody? That's false testimony. You're saying something about another person, giving testimony about them that's not true. Social media. Is there any false testimony that goes on there? Oh, it's so easy to give false testimony about people on social media, isn't it? To say things about people that are not true, that are a lie. It's false testimony. And that's specifically what this command is saying. It's the idea of giving false testimony. It's a lie. I mean, we shouldn't lie. Lying is wrong. It was number two in the list. God hates a lying tongue. But this command deals with giving false testimony. Specifically saying things about other people that are not true. That's what it means. A wise thing to do is check it out first, okay? Check it out. Because when we say something about another person that's not true, we are giving false testimony. No matter what the setting, it's false testimony. And this commandment covers that. Okay, then we have the 10th command. Oh, by the way, I'm sure you know giving false testimony can ruin lives. Giving false testimony can ruin reputations. Watch out. It's a serious thing. Maybe that's why it's one of the first 10 commandments. Commandment number 10, the last one. Verse 17, you shall not covet. So, no coveting. You shall not covet, and he gets specific. He gives examples. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. Okay? You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. Or his manservant or maidservant. They had servants back then. Or his ox. Don't covet his ox. Somebody's got a great ox. Don't covet that ox. Or his donkey. Don't covet your neighbor's donkey. Or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. The command is no coveting. What's coveting? Coveting is to lust after. Coveting is to fix your eyes on something that doesn't belong to you. Coveting is this strong desire for something that someone else has. It's this passionate wanting of something that other people would have. It's focusing on something where it's all you think about and you just want it. And the danger of coveting, I mean, there's nothing wrong with seeing somebody's house and saying, this is a neat house. Wish we had a house like that. I mean, that's harmless. Coveting is when it becomes a fixation. Coveting is when you begin to lust after that. Coveting is when you have this passion to have what they have. And if you're not careful, it leads to envy, jealousy, and finally resentment. Where you not only passionately desire what someone else has, but you're resentful that they have it, and it begins to impact your view and attitude toward that person. That's full-blown coveting. And the command says, no coveting. Their house, their wife, their servant, their animals, anything that belongs to somebody else. No coveting. It's about respecting others again. Respecting what they have. Being glad they have it, even if you don't. Right? Respect. Last night, when I was in the van, I was listening to a song on the radio, and I don't have the words, you know, exactly as they're sung, but the guy is, and you probably know the song, the Christian song, and he's reflecting back on when he was a kid and how things were simple and how it was so easy to trust the Lord and have faith in the Lord and you know, just that type of thing. And then he comes to where he is now and how complicated life gets when you're an adult. But there's a really cool little piece in that song. Basically what he's saying is, when I was a kid, I didn't want to keep up with the Joneses. I was just glad that they were our neighbors. Isn't that great? When I was a kid, I didn't need to keep up with the Joneses. I was just glad they were our neighbors. Boy, if we adults could think that way. See? No coveting. No coveting. Be glad they have what they have. Possessions, abilities, houses, cars, trucks, snowmobiles, whatever it is, abilities. Be glad they have that, even if you don't. Have a respect for them and for what they have. No coveting. So, you have Commandment 6, no murder, intentionally taking the life of another person created in the image of God, making their life sacred. No murder. Commandment 8, no stealing. No taking for yourself what already belongs to somebody else. There is a violation of what is sacred there, I believe. Commandment 9, no false testimony. No saying untrue things about people. And number 10, no coveting. No lusting after what others have that you don't have. Now they all have to do with respect, I believe. Commandment 6, obviously respect for life. Number 8, respect for others and their property, their possessions, what is theirs. Number 9, respect for the truth. Number 10, respect for others, what they have, even if we don't have it. No coveting. But it's not just respect. I want to close with this. Go with me to the New Testament, to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. These commandments are about respect. We can see that. They're about one other thing. We've already talked about it, but I want to reinforce it as we close. Matthew chapter 22. Starting in verse 35, you know the account. A lawyer comes and tests Jesus with the question, asking him, what's the greatest commandment in the law? What's the greatest of the commands? Jesus replied, verse 37, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. The second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor. It's interesting to me that in the commandments we looked at today, at least 4 times the word neighbor appears. You don't bear false witness, false testimony against your what? Neighbor. You don't covet your neighbor's or anything that is your neighbor's. Isn't that interesting? Neighbor. At least four times in those commands. And here Jesus says, the second greatest command is to love your neighbor. And so, not only are these four commands about respect, respecting others, respecting life, respecting truth, but it's about love. It's about loving your neighbor. It's about loving others. If you love others, there will be no murder. If you love others, there will be no stealing. If you love your neighbor, there will be no false testimony against them. If you love your neighbor, there will be no coveting what they have. It's about love. That's what Jesus says. In fact, Paul and James make it even stronger. Paul in Galatians, Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Serve each other in love. Then he says, the entire law is summed up in a single command. The whole law summed up in one command. What is it? Love your neighbor as yourself. There it is. And then James, in his letter, basically says the same thing. Book of James, chapter 2, verse 8. He says, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, what's the royal law? He tells us, love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep that royal law, you do right. So these four commands, no murder, no stealing, no false testimony, no coveting, they're about respect. They're also about love. They're commandments, but they're really about being committed to respecting and loving other people. How are you doing? How are you doing? The fact that you're sitting here, you probably haven't murdered anybody. All right. But what about the other three? No stealing. No false testimony. No coveting. It's about a commitment to respect and to love other people. May we have that commitment. And may we live that commitment out. Because if we do, we're following these four commands. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for these clear commands. Come from your heart. Important enough that they were the first ones you gave as you put your nation together. These things matter to you. We need you to help us to follow them. We cannot follow them on our own. Everything about our sinful nature goes against these things. But Father, we want to be committed to respecting and loving others. Help us. In Christ's name, amen.